Imagine a gray metal box in a hospital basement. Like, if it fails, the lights go out. But if it fails catastrophically, it creates an explosion hotter than the surface of the sun.
Yeah, it is incredibly intense.
Right. So, welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at the invisible armor keeping our world powered using the electrical panels and switchgear basics. Complete Guide 2026 as our map.
And it is a fascinating map to explore.
Okay, let's unpack this. I mean, most of us walk right past these giant metal cabinets without a second glance, but the global switchgear market is projected to hit a staggering $120.1 billion by 2027.
Driven mostly by massive grid upgrades and renewable energy integration.
Exactly. But to really grasp why $120 billion is flowing into this space, we first have to clear up a massive industry mix-up. Even seasoned maintenance teams sometimes use the words panel and switchgear interchangeably.
Which, from an engineering perspective, is a pretty big mistake.
Right, because they do entirely different jobs. The way I picture it, a panel is essentially like a post office. It receives power and distributes it, safely sorting the electrical mail to individual circuits downstream.
I like that analogy. And switchgear.
Switchgear is more like a ship's system of watertight blast doors. Like when a massive hull breach or, an electrical fault occurs, it instantly slams shut to quarantine the disaster and save the rest of the ship.
That is a perfect way to look at it. And what's fascinating here is how the engineering focus shifts between the two. Every panel distributes power, sure,
Right.
but as system voltage and available fault currents increase, switchgear becomes its own distinct category. Primary distribution equipment has to handle severe internal stresses across low, medium, and high voltage applications.
So a panel handles your daily load, but switchgear prevents a bad day from becoming a total catastrophe.
Precisely.
But before we even get to the extreme events happening inside the box, I have to admit I got completely lost in the alphabet soup of ratings on the outside.
Oh, the enclosure ratings. Yeah, that gets complicated.
Yeah, like there's this common industry shorthand claiming an IP65 enclosure rating exactly equals a NEMA 4 rating. Is it really safe to just swap those standards out depending on what's cheaper?
Absolutely not. And, well, that is a dangerous trap for procurement teams to fall into. They're application-oriented approximations, not literal equivalents.
Wait, so they really aren't the same thing at all?
No, not at all. The geographic standards divide is huge here. European IP standards from the IEC basically just test if solids like dust or liquids like water can get inside the enclosure.
Okay.
But North American NEMA ratings from ANSI and IEC go much further. They test if the box can survive a corrosive chemical spray or function after being completely coated in a thick layer of ice.
Oh, wow. So you can't just substitute one for the other without risking a massive breach?
Exactly. And getting that wrong has massive consequences because of what happens inside. I'm talking about an arc flash.
Right. And for those who aren't in the weeds on this, an arc flash isn't just a spark.
Definitely not.
It happens when electricity actually jumps through the air between conductors. It instantly vaporizes copper and steel and rapidly expands the surrounding air into a lethal pressure wave.
It is arguably the most severe hazard in the industry. And this raises an important question. How do you actually mitigate an explosion that happens in milliseconds?
You can't exactly just run away.
No, you do it by reducing the time an operator is exposed to the fault. Modern switchgear design fights this using fast clearing protection and something called zone selective interlocking.
Which is basically the breakers talking to each other, right? Like
Right.
the downstream breaker essentially yells up to the main breaker, "Hey, I've got a fault down here. Don't shut off the whole hospital."
Right, and it isolates the problem to just one single room. It communicates internally to trip the breaker nearest to the fault instantly.
That drastically limits the heat and energy that gets released.
Exactly.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because if these breakers are talking, they aren't just dumb mechanical boxes anymore.
They are essentially digital nodes now.
But I have to push back here. Why overcomplicate a heavy-duty mechanical switch? Like, is turning these things into digital nodes actually worth the cost?
Oh, it definitely is, because it is a massive paradigm shift for maintenance. Historically, maintenance meant powering down a facility and opening up every cubicle on a rigid calendar schedule.
Just to manually inspect things, right?
Yes, but now, using embedded sensors and digital communication protocols like IEC 61850, we have real-time data streaming constantly.
So instead of guessing, these sensors measure a micro-level heat rise or physical contact wear long before an arc flash ever happens.
Exactly. It enables predictive maintenance. You only intervene exactly where the data shows deterioration.
That must save facilities a fortune in downtime.
It really does. And more importantly, it keeps human operators out of harm's way.
So what does this all mean? Well, it means the next time you walk into a massive commercial tower, take a second to appreciate that complex, data-rich armor silently protecting the building's power.
It is doing incredible work behind the scenes.
It really is, and I'll leave you with this to ponder. As our facilities rapidly integrate localized renewable energy, like massive rooftop solar grids, how will these traditional top-down distribution panels adapt when power suddenly needs to flow in multiple directions simultaneously?